Paul McCartney.
You ever heard of him?
I hope so. I mean, he was in the Beatles, obviously.
But did you know that Paul McCartney's first bass guitar was stolen?
I had two, but one got stolen.
And that it was missing for 51 years? Until very recently, like a couple weeks ago, when the bass was found and returned to Paul. And the story's pretty interesting, so let's learn about it. Today I'm going to tell you the story of how Paul McCartney got his bass, what happened to it, how it was stolen, and how it was found after half a century. This is the story of the theft of Paul McCartney's bass. Welcome to the Cleaning and Crime Podcast. My name is Elise, and my podcast is called What It Is because I have a series on YouTube where I post a time-lapse video of myself cleaning my house, while at the same time I'm telling you a true crime story. Because I love listening to true crime while I clean. But some people find the cleaning footage a bit too distracting, or they just prefer to listen to their true crime and not watch it. So if that sounds like you, you're in the right place. Trigger warning, this is a true crime podcast, so be sure to check the show notes on this episode for specific trigger warnings, and listener discretion is advised. Now, I would call this story true crime adjacent. Theft is about as gruesome as this story's gonna get. But theft is crime. Now, this case was recommended by Gloria, and like her, I found it difficult to find all of the information on this case in one place. So that's pretty much what we're going to do today. So let's go all the way back to the very beginning, all the way back to when Paul McCartney first got his very first bass guitar. Now, obviously, unless you've been living under a rock, you know that Paul McCartney was one of the founding members of the Beatles. But maybe you didn't know that Paul McCartney didn't actually start out playing the bass. He played guitar at first and didn't know how to play bass, or at least not very well. In the late 1950s, John Lennon met a guy at the Liverpool College of Art named Stuart Sutcliffe. He was a Scottish guy, and both John and Paul convinced this guy to buy a bass and join their band. Eventually, Stuart did buy a bass, and he ended up joining the band with John, Paul, and George Harrison in May 1960. Now, as far as drummers went, they mostly had a revolving door of drummers that would just show up to play gigs. But in August 1960, they asked their favorite, Pete Best, to join their group. And he played with them for a few years before Ringo came along. Now, Pete was known as mean, moody, and magnificent. So, great drummer, but an asshole, I guess. So when Stuart, the bassist, and Pete, the drummer, were with the group, they were a five-member group, and they played their first gig at Pete's mom's club, the Casbah Coffee Club. Now, this was in Liverpool, and at the time, the band went by the name The Quarrymen. Then, in the late 1960s, they started playing clubs in Hamburg, which is in West Germany. So, after a while of playing clubs, they were headed back to Liverpool, but Stuart didn't want to go back. Because he had a super hot girlfriend named Astrid, and he wanted to stay in Hamburg with her for a while. So when they get back to Liverpool without Stuart, they have Pete's friend Chaz Newby fill in as the bassist, but he could only play with them for about a month before he ended up going back to university. So Paul McCartney basically tried to fill in the bass part while they were waiting until January 20th, 1961, for Stuart to come back from Hamburg. Now, he didn't have a bass, so he ended up restringing his crappy Rossetti guitar with piano strings and tried to play the bass part on that. Stuart came back, relieved Paul, and then in March, they all went back to Hamburg for a residency at the Top 10 Club, and they began going by the name the Silver Beatles. But by July 1961, Stuart decided to leave the group. Music was not his passion. Painting was his passion, and he ended up getting a scholarship to go to an art college in Hamburg. And this was like a really great German fine art school that I can't pronounce, but he just couldn't pass up the opportunity, and so he left the band to pursue painting. And I can't help but wonder if that decision haunts him. But the group was very understanding, but now they needed a bassist. They had a drummer and three guitarists, but no bass. Now, Stuart continued to play with them for like a month, just playing gigs here and there, but there were gigs that he wasn't able to perform at. And John Lennon had no idea how to play the bass, and George Harrison was too good at guitar to take him off of it. So it kind of just fell on Paul. Now, like I said, Paul didn't have a bass, and by this time, Paul's cheap Rossetti guitar with the piano strings had been dropped during a gig and was damaged beyond repair. So he had nothing. So Paul McCartney asked Stuart if he could borrow his bass for just the gigs that Stuart couldn't do.
And Stuart agreed, but there was a problem. Paul was left-handed. Stuart was right-handed. But Stuart made Paul promise that he would not restring his bass to be lefty. So Paul would borrow Stuart's bass, but he would play it upside down. Like, that way. And he freaking hated it. Not only the fact that he had to play it upside down, but also that Stuart's bass was really heavy. And Paul just didn't like playing it, so Paul was in the market for his own bass. In an issue of Bass Player magazine from 1995, Paul recounted this lovely story of finding his first bass, as far as he remembered, saying he stumbled across this quaint little music shop in Hamburg, and he saw a right-handed, symmetrical violin bass, beautifully appointed in the store window, and he bought it for £30, flipped it over and strung it up lefty, and the rest was history, which is not true. I don't know if you forgot or just thought that sounded better or too much drugs. I don't know.
We're probably overdoing everything, drinking and staying out too late and getting crazy.
But that's not how he found his bass at all. He went to like Steinway's main branch in Hamburg and custom ordered a fancy violin bass. So naturally, since it was a custom made bass just for Paul, it took several weeks to get it done. So that's the real reason that Paul was borrowing Stuart's bass for several weeks. He was waiting for his custom bass to come in from Steinway. Now, just to add this in here for some reason, Stuart ended up collapsing in an art class in February 1962. And then he collapsed a second time on April 10th, 1962, and he died from a brain hemorrhage at the age of 21, which is really sad. That's very young. So when the residency in Hamburg was done, the Silver Beatles went back to Liverpool and they got a residency at the Cavern Club. And they played so many shows at the Cavern Club with Paul's fancy new bass. And he showed it off so much that the bass itself actually had a nickname, the Cavern Bass. And it was at this point when the band's name was shortened from the Silver Beatles to the Beatles. But drummer Pete Best wasn't at all of the performances at the Cavern Club. About halfway through the residency, John, Paul, and George decided that they were going to push Pete out because of personality issues. And so Pete Best was fired from the Beatles on August 16th, 1962. And Ringo Starr became the drummer for the Beatles just 2 days later. And this was then the official four-member lineup of the Beatles that we know and love today. John, Paul, George, and Ringo. Now, the band played like 300 shows at the Cavern Club, during which they recorded and released Please Please Me, and they were already working on their second album with the Beatles, and their last show at the Cavern Club was August 3rd, 1963, just 6 months prior to the infamous performance on the Ed Sullivan Show. Now, by the time the Beatles were working on album number two, Paul's bass was looking road hard and put away wet. It was showing signs that it had been played hard. And parts of it, like the neck and the pickups, were being held together with black tape. And now that the Beatles were a huge deal, Paul put in an order for a replacement bass in the summer of 1963. Because Paul McCartney can't have a bass held together by black tape. That's crazy. And he got the new bass, bass number two, in October 1963. And the new bass had wider pickup spacing and the prominently displayed Hofner Script logo on the headstock. And this is the bass that he played in the recording sessions for Hard Day's Night all the way to their last public show in August 1966. But the first bass was sentimental, and Paul frequently had both bass guitars with him. I mean, it's never a bad idea to have a backup. In the spring of 1964, Paul sent the original bass, the Cavern Bass, to Sound City in London for a tune-up and a makeover. And they changed a lot about it. It was repainted like a bright three-tone sunburst with a poly finish. It was fancy. And if you're a guitar buff and you care, the two original pickups were now in one single wooden housing. And it got new knobs, so. And we would see Paul play the original bass again in September 1968. For the filming of the Revolution promo video. Now, this is where things get hairy. In January 1969, the Beatles moved from Twickenham Recording Studio to Savile Row for the rooftop concert. And you can actually see Paul's original 1961 bass in the background in the footage of the concert. And the last time the bass guitar would be seen on camera was at the end of January 1969 during the Let It Be sessions. Now, after this, the bass disappeared. Poof, gone. No one knew where it went. And no one made a big deal about it at the time because Paul McCartney didn't want to file an official police report because he didn't want anyone to get in trouble or lose their job by not protecting his gear. Now, small-scale rumors started circulating regarding when and where the bass was taken from. And as the years passed, the story just got murkier and murkier because even Paul himself couldn't remember when his bass was stolen. Was it 1969? Was it 1972? I don't know. Can't remember. Couldn't keep his date straight.
I'm not very good on dates. It was in the 60s.
Some thought it was stolen from Twickenham Studios or stolen during the move to Savile Row. But we can see the bass in the footage of the rooftop concert, so we know it wasn't then. But then that's kind of all the coverage that this got. There were some rumors here and there. There were two small news articles, but no official investigation and no real search. And the bass remained missing under mysterious circumstances for 50 years. The Hofner Company, the makers of the bass, were making a new backup bass for Paul McCartney in 2019. And Paul McCartney was sitting down with Nick Wass, the marketing manager with the Hofner Company. And this guy is an expert on Hofner basses. He literally wrote the book on the subject. And the two guys are sitting around chatting, planning what Paul wanted out of his new bass. And casually, Paul says to Nick, "Say, you don't know what happened to my old bass, do you?" And of course, Nick didn't know, but now he was on a mission and he was going to find that lost bass. And just like that, the Lost Bass Project was founded. Nick made a dedicated webpage on the Hofner website using hashtag trace this bass and wrote about the history of the bass, how it disappeared, shared photographs, shared its defining characteristics. And he appealed to the public to come forward with any information on the bass's whereabouts. Now, this actually flew under the radar and didn't get much traction for several years until May 2023, when Naomi and Scott Jones, a couple who are investigative journalists who've worked with the BBC, suddenly reached out to Nick and they wanted to be a part of the project. Soon, the new team of three had created the LostBassProject.com. And in September 2023, Scott Jones, one of the investigative journalists, put out an article with The Telegraph, and that news story kind of blew up. After that article went up, the Lost Bass Project ended up receiving 100 leads and 600 people offering to help find Paul McCartney's missing bass. And once this news story was mainstream, pictures of the bass were suddenly on the nightly news, covering this 50-year-old story. And then one night, a woman named Kathy Guest was watching TV, sees a news story of Nick Wass talking about the bass and showing photos of the bass, and she goes, "Oh my God, that looks just like my dead husband's guitar that's up in the attic." She runs up, grabs it. Sure enough, it looks just like the bass in the pictures on the TV. Kathy reached out to Paul McCartney's team in London, and after some investigating, it was determined to be Paul McCartney's lost bass, just stuck up in an attic. Now, after the bass was returned to Paul McCartney's team, it was pretty easy to trace back the breadcrumbs to figure out what really happened and how it ended up in some random lady's attic. And following these leads and breadcrumbs, it brought us back to October 10th, 1972. Two guys, Ian Horn and Trevor Jones, were sound engineers, and they were in charge of a van that was used to transport Paul McCartney's instruments from one studio to another. It was basically a rental truck with a padlock on it. These two guys were in charge of it. And on one fateful night, Paul was recording his second studio album with Wings, Red Rose Speedway, and the session ended up going super late. And at the end of the night, Ian and Trevor were exhausted, and they ended up breaking the rules and parking the van on the side of the road in Cambridge Gardens in the Notting Hill area. And this was near Trevor's home. They parked the van, they went to Trevor's, they crashed for the night, rather than bringing the van back to a different studio like they were supposed to. When they woke up, they realized the padlock on the van had been broken and Paul's equipment had been stolen, to the tune of two amps and two guitars, including the 1961 Hofner bass. They panicked and started going door to door asking people, "Did you take this shit? Did you see anything?" But they had no luck getting any information from any of the neighbors. Now, the missing instruments were reported to the police and to the record company and Paul McCartney's team. But Paul McCartney was actually the one who said he didn't want to file an official police report because Ian and Trevor were both really loyal team members. And they'd both been with Paul for a long time, and he didn't want them to get into trouble. He didn't want them to have any legal troubles or get fired or get a bad reputation. He just kind of figured, I'm Paul McCartney, I'll get another bass. Now, years later, Ian Horn actually emailed the Lost Bass Project, and he gave them the lead that the bass was stolen out of the van on the streets on October 10th, 1972. But Nick Wass initially blew off that lead because at the time, everyone thought the bass was stolen in 1969.
I'm not very good on dates.
Everyone thought it was stolen sometime around that rooftop concert in Savile Row. But oddly enough, thanks to Peter Jackson and his Get Back documentary from 2021, we now have a ton of footage of that concert that we could now comb through, and you can see clear as day that the 1961 bass is there in the background. Now, once the bass was recovered and Nick Wass heard Kathy Guest's story of how she got the bass, it reminded him of that email from Ian Horn, and it reminded him of an email that he got in February 2023 from an ambulance driver who overheard a conversation he wasn't supposed to hear, and he told the Lost Bass Project that his father was the one who bought the bass from the thief, and he had bought it from a dude at a bar for a couple of quid and some free beer. So now we don't have the official name of the actual thief, because again, Paul McCartney doesn't want any legal ramifications for the family members involved. So the thief's real name is just a big secret. But Nick Wass put Ian's email and the ambulance driver's lead together, and soon Naomi and Scott Jones were using their investigative journalist power to good use. Naomi and Scott dug up all of the names of all of the people that lived on the street where the van was parked that night. And just by chance, they happened to find the name of a guy who lived on the street where the van was broken into on that night. And he happened to have the same last name that the ambulance driver gave as the name of the thief. So it turns out that this mystery man stole all the crap out of Paul McCartney's van because he was a notoriously sticky-fingered man. Then one night, he's drinking, he's sitting at a bar, and he sold the bass to Ronald Guest, the landlord of the Admiral Blake pub in London, for, like I said, free beer and a couple of quid. Now, Ronald Guest, this bar owner, he ended up giving the bass to his eldest son, Graham. But Graham was tragically killed in a car accident when he was in university. The bass then passed to Ronald Guest's younger son, Hayden, and he held onto it for the rest of his life. He was apparently an avid musician and played the bass often, and he just had it sitting around his house for decades. Hayden then died at the height of COVID in 2020, leaving the bass to his widow, Kathy Guest. She put it up in her attic, not knowing what it was, until she saw its likeness on the nightly news. So the guitar was recovered, apparently in September, October 2023, but it wasn't made public or returned to Paul right away. Apparently, Paul didn't get it back until about December 2023, and there wasn't a post made on the Lost Bass Project's website until January 2024. I guess Paul McCartney was contacted sometime in September to let him know that his bass was possibly recovered, but he wanted to make sure that it was really, really, really his bass. Because it could have been a replica. There are replicas out there. It's a famous bass. So Paul had Nick Wass go and analyze the bass in person to make sure it was really, really, really his. And you can see photos on the Lost Bass Project's website of Nick Wass verifying that it's Paul McCartney's bass. And Nick was able to tell that it was in fact Paul's bass because the bass has a distinctive round back. And all other Hofner bass guitars at the time had flat backs. And that's something no one would have been able to see because the back of the bass was never photographed because Paul was always wearing it. I guess it took months to authenticate. Or at least that's what they said. And I kind of take that to mean that it took months for everyone to contact everyone else, for Nick to travel from Hamburg to London to authenticate it, and then to let Paul know and get the bass to Paul. And I guess before Nick even posted on the Lost Bass Project's website, Kathy Guest's son, Rory, a 21-year-old film student, posted on his Twitter photos of the bass saying, "To my friends and family, I inherited this item, which has been returned to Paul McCartney. Share the news," end quote. So some people believe that Paul actually did get his bass returned to him earlier than December. And some believe that it was kept hush-hush because they didn't want it to take away from the release of the single Now and Then that came out in October. I'm not sure I buy that. Like, why would that take away from the release? I would think that would help in the press. I don't know. But anyway, in February, Rory tweeted again, saying that the lost bass project had nothing to do with the bass's recovery and that they were trying to jump in and get credit, and that the true story would be told in time. So, I mean, Rory sounds kind of spicy about that. Kind of sounds to me like the Guest family is just trying to use this spotlight to, like, get interviews and make some money off of this situation. But that's just my initial opinion. And I don't matter. But it is worth mentioning that when Kathy returned the bass to Paul's team, there was a note inside the guitar case detailing all of her money struggles as she struggles to support two kids in college. And she told The Sun in an interview that she is hoping for a reward and that the bass is estimated to be worth about 10 million pounds. Kathy claims that her late husband Hayden had no idea what this guitar was or who it belonged to or where it came from. He just inherited it when his brother died. Kathy claims that Paul McCartney's team initially offered her a reward when they first began communicating, but that she hasn't heard back since. And she also says that she's taken advice, which I assume is British for talked to a lawyer. But I'm anxious to hear your opinions on that. Let me know on Spotify or in the comments. Do you think Kathy should get a reward? I mean, it was a stolen item, given back to its rightful owner, but she had no idea that it was a stolen item, or so she says. And she did the right thing by returning it to Paul McCartney. So let me know in the comments, reward or nah. But honestly, none of that matters. All that matters is the Hofner bass was returned to its rightful owner, Paul McCartney, in its original case after being missing for over 50 years. Paul wants to not necessarily restore the bass to its original condition, but he does want it to be back to, like, playing condition. It does have some damage from being stored in an attic with the big temperature changes. The neck is cracked, the pickups aren't working, and the knobs need to be replaced / repaired. And since it was announced that Paul is going to be releasing a new album this year, I can't help but wonder if he's going to try and play the bass on that album. Like, wouldn't that be cool if he played his original Hofner bass on his new album now that he got it back? That would be a full circle moment. I think he should do it if he can. But I guess only time will tell, and maybe all of the details will continue to emerge in the next few months. And that is the story of Paul McCartney's missing Hofner bass that was gone for 51 years. And its return was finally announced mere weeks ago. I know this was a bit of a different story than my usual stories, but why not switch it up once in a while? And I'll get back to a regular old true crime story next time. But if you liked this episode, please give me a thumbs up. It's super helpful for my channel. And if you'd like, subscribe and follow along. Leave me a comment, let me know what you thought, or if you have a case that you'd like to request that I cover on Cleaning and Crime. Thank you so much for watching or listening, and I will see you guys next time. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to Cleaning and Crime. If you'd like more content from me or you want to see the cleaning side of things, check me out on YouTube, TikTok, or follow my socials, all of which are under the name C. Elise. If you have any questions or case ideas to share, email me at celiseclean@gmail.com. If you like what you heard, feel free to rate, review, and subscribe. These episodes include my personal opinions, and all information is compiled by me using references that are publicly available. Sources are included in the show notes, and all parties discussed are innocent until proven guilty. See you next time.